We want to turn in Matthew chapter 14, and I want to focus on one aspect of this particular passage. We have actually been in this passage in my history of being here at Smith Grove. We've been in this passage a number of times, but I haven't, to my knowledge, I haven't focused on one particular verse. We've talked about the events that were leading up to. We talked about the life of the disciples. We talked about what was taking place, the fact that Christ had sent the multitude away, and then he told the disciples to get into a ship and to go to the other side. And, of course, a lot of things transpired during that period of time. But we want to read one verse, and the reason that I'm choosing to read one verse is just simply I want our focus to be on the fact that Jesus stretched forth his hand. And, of course, that is our title tonight, is Jesus stretched forth his hand. So let me read to you that verse right now, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message. The Bible says in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 14, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him," and that is Peter. He caught Peter, "and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for a good day that you've blessed us with. And now, Lord, just pray that you'll help us. Lord, we ask that you bless the request of prayer that people have on their hearts, those that are unspoken, those that are spoken by way of prayer list, and just all the different needs. And, Lord, we're looking to you tonight for our help and our strength. And, Lord, we just ask that we hear from you tonight, and we'll give you the praise. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The message tonight is not about Peter's faith or even his lack of faith. Now, we know that he had faith because he asked to walk on the water, and he started, and then he began to sink. And Christ even makes mention, he says, "O thou, O little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt?" So it's really not a message about Peter and his faith or lack of faith. It's not about the storms of life. And as Jesus had told them to get to the other side, there, verse 24 talks about the waves and the tossing of the ship. And it says the waves were contrary. So we're not talking about the storms of life. It isn't even about Jesus walking on the water, which is just showing his authority and just who he is and what a display that he gave. Verse 25 talks about he walked on the water. It wasn't about the troubled spirit that they had, because Jesus, as he was walking on the water, they wasn't sure what was going on. And so they became very troubled in their things, their sight. They came very troubled about what was taking place. But it's just simply about the hand of Jesus. Now, it's important for us to understand the hand of Jesus and just what it means and what it represents. Peter had asked a question. And in that question, or maybe it's as much of a statement as it is a question. And so when Jesus spoke the words, "Be of good cheer," in verse 27, "It is I, be not afraid," Peter answered him. And he ultimately said, "Lord, if it be thou, if it's you, if you're who you say you are, bid me thither to come on the water." And so he was ultimately saying, "Lord, if it's you, allow me to walk on the water." And Christ, without hesitation, he said, "Come." Just one word, "Come." And so Peter had made this statement and ultimately was saying, if you're Christ, if you're Jesus, then allow me to walk on the water, allow me to come to you. And he says, come. And so Jesus allowed it. Jesus allowed him to walk on the water. And then things went from good to worse. Now, I want to kind of give you this thought. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it in this fashion, but I want to give you this thought tonight as we consider the hand of Jesus, and that is this. How many times have we ever prayed for something, and we were earnest in our prayer, and we wanted something to really happen, and we were praying about it, and then God allows whatever it is that we prayed for happen, and then we didn't know what to do with it? That's kind of what happened to Peter. Peter says, if you're who you say you are, if you're Christ, if you're Lord, then bid me to come to you. And he says, come. It was almost like, in a sense, Jesus was answering a prayer. And then once he was allowed to walk on the water in his prayer, in a sense, if I can kind of put it that way, his request, maybe I should just address it that way, he answered his request, and then Peter didn't know what to do. Has that ever happened to any of us? We prayed for something, we asked for something, and then when we receive it, then everything changes. Things around us change. Happenings change. Troubles come. No doubt Peter began to look at the things that were around him, and no longer was his focus on the request, but now his focus was on the things around him. And that's something for us to think about. Because no longer was Peter's vision or his desire, his request, no longer was it on Jesus anymore, but now it was on the things that were around him. And that's very easy for that to happen. That's very easy for that to happen to any one of us. Lord, will you allow this to take place? Will you allow this request to be answered? And so Peter was getting ready to learn a valuable lesson. And the lessons that we learn in life, the hope is that we learn them and then it helps us in future days. See, every lesson that we learn in life, or every test that we have, or every trial that we have, every temptation that we have, once we overcome that, then that should help us in future days. We should never repeat it, especially when it comes to a trial or a temptation. We should never allow it to be repeated, because God is teaching us the whole time. When we were in school, I don't know of a single grade or a single teacher or a single grade that I had that there wasn't a test. And except for study hall, and that was my favorite class. Every class, everything built upon something else. I used to love math, and still don't mind it, but I remember in ninth grade, we were learning algebra. At that time, that's when algebra was taught, or at least for me. That's the class that I was in. And it was just clicking. It was just clicking. I was getting it. And then all of a sudden, through the winter, right after winter break, I got sick. I don't remember what I had, but I got sick. And so I was out for a week. And so then when I came back to class, I was as lost as a goose when it came to algebra, because there was a step that I was missing. And it took me just about the whole rest of the year to even catch up, because with algebra, just like anything else, if you missed a step, then you're going to be lost when it comes to different working out different equations. Well, when it comes to the life trials that we're in, we can't miss a step. And we need to allow Christ to teach us and to help us and to show us to be able to help us in future days. You see, Peter was going to have a great ministry one day. Christ wasn't always going to be here when it comes to in body as they were seeing Jesus then. And so Christ would soon go to the cross and there would be a resurrection, and of course they would have the Holy Spirit. We know that. But everything that they were learning was going to help them for the future. And so Peter was going to get a valuable lesson here, and I hope tonight that we can focus on the fact that Jesus stretched forth his hand in this situation. Jesus stretched forth his hand, and his stretched forth hand will show us several things this evening, just about three or so things, and I hope it can kind of help us the importance of understanding how important Christ is in our life and how important the hand of Christ, the hand of Jesus, is in our life. Because when Peter began to sink and he began to focus on all the things around and he began to focus on the wind and he began to focus on the fact that, that he was walking on the water. And I wonder sometimes if he wasn't saying, look at me, I'm walking on the water. And that was a new experience. That was a new experience for him. And so, again, as I want to reemphasize, his thought process was no longer on Jesus and the prayer or the request that was answered. But now his focus was on everything else. And the Bible says in verse 30, but when he saw the winds boisterous, he was afraid. So there's where it began. He focused on the wind. Then he became afraid. And when we become afraid, then we really lose focus. When we become afraid, then we really lose focus. So he became afraid. And then he began to sink. Now, we don't know how far down he went. We don't know if he just went sinking down to his waist. We don't really know how quickly he sank. We don't know any of those things. We can all speculate as to what was taking place. But it was enough time for him to say, Lord, save me. So we know that he had enough time and he had a realization that he was sinking, that he was able to get out the words, Lord, save me. And then's when things changed. We think it's a miracle, and it was a miracle that Peter walked on water, but it was more of a miracle that Jesus stretched forth his hands, because that shows us a whole lot more than Peter walking on the water. That shows us that he cared. That showed us that he's concerned. That showed us that he understands. That shows us that he's willing. And then the list could go on and on and on and on about what that shows us. But our focus tonight is on that hand, that stretched forth hand. And so the first thing I want to make mention tonight is this. In his hands we find unbroken security. We find an unbroken security. And I'll give you a verse in John to back this up. John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, and I'll just read it to you. It says, and I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's pretty secure, isn't it? When Jesus says the words that when you're in his hands, when I give to you eternal life, then you'll never perish, and then no man will pluck you out of my hand. That's pretty secure. That's pretty stable. And verse 29 says, my Father which gave unto me is greater than all, and no man should be able to pluck him out of my Father's hand. So there's two times in that passage that the hand is mentioned. And so Peter's learning a valuable lesson. He's learning when Jesus grabs a hold of you, then you're secure. It's that unbroken security that you have. Some might question their security. Some might question, when Peter cried, "Lord, save me," and once that hand was stretched forth, Peter was no longer in danger. No matter how high the waves got, no matter how forceful the winds were, no longer was he in danger. No longer was he in danger. And it makes mention here in verse 32, and I think this is interesting to make mention. The Bible says, "And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased." So the winds didn't cease until they were in the ship, which means he was holding on to Peter and the winds were still blowing. The waters were still rough. And so that should even give us even more security, that unbroken security, that our winds in life are going to blow and the waves are going to be rough, but in Jesus we're secure. In Jesus we're secure. And so he stretched forth that hand. The other thing that it should show us is the fact that Jesus never dropped him. Jesus never dropped him. He didn't let him go. You got to remember, the hands were wet, and you know what happens when your hands get wet? They become slick. And so I'm just kind of thinking practically tonight, and that's the fact that when Jesus grabs a hold of you, then you're secure. You're secure. He didn't let him go. He didn't drop him. The winds didn't have power to wash him away, and he didn't lose grip. That's unbroken security. He was safer in the hand of Jesus than he was in the ship. He was safer in the hand of Jesus than he was in the ship. But the realization for that hand to come down, the realization was Peter had to have a need. Peter had to understand that he was in trouble. And you also have to remember that Peter requested it. So there's two things that we need to think about tonight in our thinking is that Peter requested, but Peter also saw he had a need. Peter had to see that need, and truly, there was a need. He had no backup plan. You know, sometimes when we plan something or when we plan to do something, we say we got a plan A and plan B. Peter didn't have anything but a plan A. He didn't have a plan B. Plan B would have put him down with the fish. But plan A was in the hands of Jesus. And that should always be our plan A. There should never be a plan B when it comes to the hands of Jesus. But Peter was also learning this. And it's something for us to really grab a hold of tonight, and that is this. He had to trust him. He had to trust him. He had to trust that hand that reached down for him. He had to trust him. He didn't ask, "Can you save me?" He didn't ask to show his credentials in saving him. But he just simply trusted Jesus. He saw the need and he trusted. And that's hope and security of those that know Christ as our personal Savior. That's the hope and security of those that know Christ as our personal Savior. So that's the first thing that he learned. The second thing that he had to understand and that he had to learn with the hand reaching down for him is this. He found unrestrained sensitivity. Unrestrained sensitivity. And so we see this in Romans chapter 21, and a lot of times this verse is quoted or read during someone's passing or someone's funeral. But the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So Peter was learning a valuable lesson, and that is this. Christ didn't send angels down to reach for Peter. Christ didn't send prophets. He didn't send a loved one, but he went to him personally. He reached down personally for Peter. And we might think, well, of course he reached personally because Jesus was right there. But you see, you got to remember who Jesus is. Jesus has power to do anything. And so he could have very well just lifted Peter up. He could have very well just stopped the winds and stopped the water at that moment, and all of a sudden it stopped. He could have very well said, don't sink anymore. But Christ chose the hand to reach and get him. He chose the hand to reach and get him. Let me ask you a question. When you were growing up many years ago, when you got hurt, when you got scared, when you had a need, who did you run to? Who did you run to? You ran to the ones that you trusted. I grew up with five sisters, and I was the youngest. And I promise you, when I became afraid, and when I became scared, and when I became troubled, I never ran to one of my sisters, because they just added to it. Many times they were the cause of me being scared when I was little. Never once did I run to them, but I always ran to either my father or my mother. I would always run to them. Every once in a while, if I was staying with my grandparents, I would run to them. But the point is, you run to someone that you can trust. You run to someone that you can trust. We have someone to run to tonight. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter what's troubling us, what trials we have, what situations we have, no matter what is going on in our life, we have someone that we can trust that has a hand far stronger than ours. Peter was learning some valuable lessons that would help him in the future about the hand of Jesus. Because Jesus stretched forth his hand. He didn't hesitate. I don't think it was the kind of situation to where you've heard people say when they're getting in trouble, you've heard people say, well, I'm going to let them suffer just a little bit. I'm going to let them squirm just a little bit before I bail them out. And I don't think Jesus is like that. I think when we truly have a need and we see we have a need and we call upon him, I believe that he's right there. I don't believe it's going to be one of them situations to where Jesus says, well, I'm going to let them squirm. Because if he would have allowed Peter to squirm, then Peter would have drowned. But immediately. But he also knew Peter's heart. He knew Peter's need. He knew Peter's heart. He knew Peter's situation. There's nothing he didn't know about Peter. And Peter began to sink. So there was no hesitation in reaching down for Peter. And Jesus was, he sincerely saw that need. He saw that need. And what a valuable lesson we learned. He is sensitive to our needs in our life. He is sensitive and to our needs and to our life. He understands our needs. He knows what we need. We just need to allow him to work. Peter didn't fight him. Peter didn't fight the hand of Christ. He didn't fight the hand of Jesus, but he allowed Jesus to lift him up. So many times people are fighting what Christ can do. They're fighting, they're wrestling. But Peter didn't, because Peter saw the need. And then number three tonight, we find his undisputed sovereignty. His sovereignty is undisputed. How much control did Jesus have in Peter's life? How much control did Jesus have when he stretched forth his hand? The Bible says, and he caught him. How much control did he have? But Peter had to trust, and Peter also had to allow him to control. I'm sure that you've heard the same thing that I've heard, but in many occasions, when someone is drowning, someone will jump in to try to save that person. And a lot of times the people that jump in to save that person drowns themselves. And the reason they drown themselves is because that person that is so frantically afraid that they're drowning, they're pushing them underwater. In other words, they have no control. They have no control over the situation, and they're panicked. They're scared, and rightfully so. I wasn't driving yet, but sometimes that we had this summer program that we would go swimming, and there was a pool that we went swimming at in Greensboro off of Friendly Avenue, and I was just with all my friends and so on, and some guy, and I don't know who he was, some guy came up behind me and started putting me underwater. And he was, if I remember correctly, or at least my version is, he was a pretty big fella. And I couldn't do nothing about it. And I thought right quickly, I was a goner. Never seen the guy before in my life. And then when he finally let me go, he walked away and I was still trying to gasp for air. And then I finally see him get out of the pool, and I ain't found him since, but I'm still looking. Because I don't know who he was. But I will be honest with you. I began to panic. And I began to be afraid. And when you swallow a little bit of water, then that even makes it worse. But when it comes to the hand of Christ, we've got to relinquish any control we think we have. We've got to relinquish that control and allow that hand to lift us up. If we're fighting we're not allowing him to work in our lives, if Peter would have pulled against him, then I'm not so sure that Peter, not Christ, but I'm not so sure that Peter wouldn't have let go. Because he was fighting over the situation. And so many times in life, we fight over the situation we're in. We worry, we fret, we become afraid, we lose sleep, all those things that we're fighting against in this storm, if we would just relinquish the control to Jesus, then I believe we would see a mighty work being done. Now, we have to understand that it's in His timing, and that's the reason I made mention the fact that the winds were still going and the storm was still there until they got into the ship. And so in my mind, we're going to have storms in our life until we get to heaven. We're going to have situations in our life that we don't understand. We're going to have situations in our life that more times than not, we're going to be saying, Lord, help me. But until we get to heaven, we have to relinquish what control we think we have to His total control. Having total control in our life. So Jesus took control and Peter allowed Him to take control. And that's important, is us to allow Him to take control in our life. And so Jesus, steering a car, Jesus began to take control. And when He grabbed a hold of Peter, I believe that Peter just all of a sudden relaxed. And Peter and Jesus lifted him up. And I believe that they walked together into that ship. And I believe that tonight that we can walk together into His presence in life if we allow Him to take control. But you got to remember, we're not relinquishing control to just anybody. But we're relinquishing control to the undisputed sovereignty of Jesus Christ. We're relinquishing control to Jesus. There might be an attack on us. There might be the storms. All these things can happen. But when its control allowed Jesus to do it. I've never had one or never seen one and don't know that I'll ever own one unless they force me. But there are cars that they say will drive themselves. And, I'm being told that a lot of this has started in California. Imagine that. But they're saying you can just let go of the steering wheel and you can eat snacks and you can talk to your... they actually showed a commercial one time. I don't know if y'all saw it, but they actually showed a commercial one time. And it was a good thought because there was a mother and a child, and I guess the child couldn't hear. And so she put this car on autopilot and she began to talk to her child in sign language. And it showed that, and it was just endorsing this car that's in control. I don't think I could relinquish control of that. I've been driving too long to relinquish control to a computer. But the older I get, the more I'm realizing that my control is relinquished to Jesus Christ. Not something man made, but something God made. And so, Peter had to understand that, the undisputed sovereignty. So we conclude tonight by this. It wasn't until Jesus reached down and he stretched forth his hand that Peter began to understand just who Jesus is. Until we allow Christ to reach down in our life, we're never going to truly understand just how powerful Jesus is. But we must allow him to do that. We must truly realize that we have a need. We must truly realize that we can trust him. And we must truly realize that he needs full control of our life. And we need to remember tonight that it was Jesus. That it was Jesus. And the Bible says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I'm not sure what each one of us are struggling. I know my own struggles, but I'm not sure what each one of us might be struggling with tonight. But we need to keep our focus on Christ. Not allow the storms to take control, but allow Jesus to control us. And yes, there's going to be times in life that we're going to feel like that we're sinking. And we may be. But if we allow him to reach down and get us, we've got unwavering security. We've got unwavering sovereignty. And we have Jesus in control. So let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for such valuable lessons that you teach us. But now, Lord, it's up to us to allow them in our life. Many times we pray for something and we ask for something. And then when you deliver it, we don't know what to do with it. And Lord, we know tonight that Peter didn't know. Peter didn't know. But you helped him and you showed him the power in your hands. Help us, Lord, to relinquish the control of our life and just right now give it to you. If there's someone tonight that needs help tonight in any way, Lord, I pray that they'll come to this altar and talk to you and allow you to do a work in each life and help us to remember that one that was sinking, that you reached down and lifted up. We ask your blessings on this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?